This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is hour number three. And by the way, Halloween weekend. No, it is. It's not on Sunday, a Saturday. It's not on Friday. It's Sunday. I hope everybody goes out trick-or-treating and has a good time. And don't forget, if you see teenagers that are out trick-or-treating on Sunday, just let them enjoy it. I agree with all the sentiment of people who say, let kids be kids, because there's too much of their life where they're going to be an adult and they don't get to do fun stuff. I love giving out candy to the kids that come to the house. It's one of my favorite things to do. Get to see their costumes and tell them. I like the little kids that are too shy to say hi. One time, my wife, she likes that creepy stuff, like animatronic things and whatnot. She got a spider. She had a spider web thing where the guy was like, there was like a person inside a spider web, and he was like, "Help me!" if you walked past it. And I remember the little kids would come to the door, they'd ring the doorbell trick-or-treat, and when they would make a little bit of noise, the little guy outside the door would go, "Help me!" And a spider would just kind of shake, and it would scare them to death. And I laughed and laughed and laughed at them while I gave them candy bars. I love Halloween. I can't wait. But it's still an amazing weekend for what we've got in sports with three possible games of the World Series. I know right now weather is, everybody's got their fingers crossed of what the weather is going to be like in Atlanta. You got good NFL games, and we're going to get to that coming up. And we got some college football games that really matter, that got an impact. One game I am watching out for this weekend is Ole Miss against Auburn. I love what Lane Kiffin is doing, but I'm not 100% sold on it quite yet. And Auburn's been better team of late. Brian Harsin's done a pretty good job there. But if Ole Miss can go on the road and win at Jordan-Hare Stadium, I think you can start putting Lane Kiffin and the Rebels in a conversation, especially if they can run through the season with their only loss being to Alabama. But, of course, Michigan and Michigan State, that is going to go on in East Lansing. You know, both teams are unbeaten. One is going to get really close to the top when it's all said and done, because they're both ranked in the top 10. So plenty of stuff to digest, including the Hershey's and the Reese's and all of the kids' candies that you're going to confiscate, as you should as an adult. It's the candy tax that you are owed Sunday night if you have kids and they go out trick-or-treating. But coming up, the trick-or-treating of the NFL schedule as we continue with Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's one of my favorite parts of the week when we go over the NFL schedule and we say, this game is worth your time. And this game is dreg, and you don't need to worry about it. Especially now, we're going into week 8. And normally I would be like, we've reached the halfway point of the season. But we haven't yet, because we haven't reached Wednesday of next week. That'll be the official halfway point of the season.
So Thursday will be the halfway game.
Right, exactly. So we haven't quite got there yet. Are you ready to go through the schedule this weekend? Here we go. Let's start in Atlanta, where the Falcons are taking on the Panthers. The Falcons are 3-3 and have actually won some games lately. However, you can't say the same thing for the Panthers. They started off 3-0. They've lost 4 in a row, and Sam Darnold is not the answer anymore. No, it is not a great game. I wish it was a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman game, so they could do that in the World Series Sunday night. But instead, who did you say was doing it? Kevin Harlan? He's a good broadcaster.
No, it's not Kevin Harlan.
He's not doing this game.
It is. I've already forgotten who it was. That's how bad it was.
That's all right. Don't worry about
Kevin
it.
Kevin Kugler.
Kevin Kugler.
Mark
okay, he's
Sanchez.
Pretty good. Oh, they gave Mark Sanchez this one?
Of course they did.
Is he learning on the job? I'm sorry. That's too easy.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. All right. This game is not great. It's not great.
This is... This is, you know, this is the type of game where if there's a mall near you where they're doing some trick or treating for the kids,
take
part in that.
That's actually cool. Go to a go to an afternoon Halloween party
there
if
you
have one. You could do that.
Maybe carve pumpkins.
Panthers are disappointing, aren't they? I thought they were going to be.
I thought they were going to be so good.
They were 3-0 and they were rolling. Beat the Saints, right?
Now four straight losses.
Nope, not anymore. Buffalo beat the Dolphins. All right, the Dolphins. No. There's nothing I can say about the Dolphins. Except the last time these two teams played, Buffalo won 35-0. So there you go.
There you have it.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Buffalo coming off a bye week. And you know what? I kind of had to remind myself, and you did when we did top five, bottom five. Even though Buffalo was on a bye week, they played really well against the Titans. They just lost.
Yeah.
They didn't get blown out. They didn't look crappy like Kansas City. They actually played pretty good. Josh Allen slipped on that fourth down attempt or whatever it was.
Kind of like the Cardinals yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a loss, but then, Cardinals played well.
Yeah, exactly.
AJ Green lost it.
We might find those two teams in the playoffs.
Who
knows?
I think the only thing to watch this game for is, Tua time.
Yeah.
How much time does he actually have left with this team?
Yeah.
When's the Deshaun Watson trade happening?
I know. We'll see. The Dolphins might be willing to pull that trigger. How about this one? The Bears and the 49ers. Oh, man. 49ers.
More trick-or-treating.
This is more trick-or-treating. This is more possible candy in the afternoon. Thank God the NFL is stuffing their, stuffing their stocking with this one. These early games. Bears, Justin Fields, 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in his first few games as a starter. Okay, we'll still wait. The 49ers are a little disappointing, though. 2-4, they just lost to Indianapolis on a monsoon last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been disappointing because people really like them. They're like, that team could go to the Super Bowl. Frank Schwab, our good friend from Yahoo Sports, was very high on the 49ers into this season. He thought that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know.
I don't see that happening anymore.
So this one's not that good. Oh, my God, we keep rolling along. Steelers and Browns.
Oh.
What's the deal with Baker Mayfield? Is he going to play in this one? Are you going to see Baker?
Sure.
I guess.
Maybe.
Why
not? I don't know.
We'll see. I know he's dealing with that shoulder injury. So, absolutely could play on Sunday, he says, Baker Mayfield. Just looked it up to make sure we have Baker Mayfield.
Yes, but he has a broken bone and a torn muscle in his non-throwing shoulder.
All quarterbacks say this, don't they?
Yeah,
they could be. They seriously could be strapped down to a gurney, and they would say they would play.
Listen, I don't need my non-throwing arm to throw a ball.
No. Yeah, yep. I know.
But I can say this, Baker. If you don't know, when you land on it, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt badly.
You don't need to prove your machismo when that happens.
The Steelers aren't playing all that bad. Right? The defense played pretty good. They're not good, but they're not all that bad.
And let's be real, out of all the day games, this is the most watchable.
Yeah, that's right. They needed overtime to beat Geno Smith and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And they beat Denver, who's now a fraud, but nevertheless.
Because I looked ahead. This is the only watchable game.
Yeah. Woo. The NFL, you're throwing up some stinkers on us.
It's as if they knew that it was Halloween and most people are going to be doing family stuff anyways.
You're like, wow.
Who would have thunk it?
Well, they thought the Browns-Steelers game would be decent.
Yeah.
They were all excited.
You know what you watch that game for? The costumes.
Yeah, that's right.
Cleveland will show up.
Yeah.
Steeler fan will show up in costume, too. It'll be fun.
That'll be true. Lions 0-7.
Come on, Lions.
Yeah, come on, Lions. Against the Eagles. Now, Dan Campbell, this is your game. This is your moment to shine. We're very, very supportive of you, right? I told you earlier this week, I'm starting to get a man crush on Dan Campbell. Going for that onside kick, well done. 2 fake punts, well done. Even more. Got to beat the Eagles. Nick Sirianni doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. This is your chance. You do know what you're doing. You're taking chances.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni is too worried attending to his garden.
Right. That's right. So much so that I think I mispronounced his name. Isn't it Sirianni? I probably blew that.
Who cares?
I don't know. I don't care. You're 2-5. Your last name is Smith, for all I care, in this league. But Dan Campbell, I know, because I like the way you're so...
enthusiastic.
We like you.
We like you, Dan. So, Dan, get out there and get your first win this weekend.
Go out there and do it. Go out there and get and beat the
Eagles. Yeah, they're primed for picking right now.
We'll play some celebration music if you should win on Monday.
We might even put you in our top five.
We might even do that.
We don't know.
Well, whatever. CBS, Lucas Oil Stadium is where Tennessee is going to play Indianapolis. This is a better game than the records indicate.
Yeah.
The Colts are starting to play better football now. The Titans are going for the season sweep of the Colts. By the way, here's a little interesting stat. The Titans are like 14-6 on road games since 2019. That's pretty decent. They're a good road football team. But the Colts are playing better. The Titans, of course, have Derrick Henry. This is a very good game. The Colts really need this one. They're 3-4. They'd like to get to 500. They really need this game. So this is not a must win, but it's a better win if you really wanted good things to happen to you type of thing. So look for this one. This one's a good one. It's one of the only good ones we've had so far in this afternoon swim fest of nothing. How about the Jets and the Bengals? It's Flacco time, or is Mike White getting the start?
No, Joe Flacco is he's not on the Jets.
He got traded there. Yeah, he got traded there this week.
Oh, I thought he got traded somewhere else.
Yeah, the Eagles made a trade earlier this week and brought him.
No, Mike White's getting the start.
Mike White is going to get the start.
Yep.
Because Mike White should get the start. Flacco shouldn't be able to go to the Jets on 3 days ago and start for the Jets.
And this is on par with what the Jets do.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they give us Luke somebody.
Luke McCown.
No, Luke
Falk. Luke Falk. I'm sorry. Jeez.
Yeah, the other Luke.
Yeah, the other Luke.
So this is on par with them to, once a year to start an obscure quarterback name that you – can you tell me where Mike White went to school?
Where did Mike White go to college? Did he go to Oklahoma? I'm looking it up right now.
Problem is that too many
– oh, he went to Western Kentucky. I was way off.
Of course he did.
I had him in a Power 5 conference, and instead he was playing in Conference USA. How dumb am I?
He also went to South Florida for a year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did he play at South Florida? Is that where I may know him from?
Maybe.
I don't know him at all.
Why would you know him from South Florida?
Here's the deal. Why would I know him at all? Mike White just sounds like a name I should know.
Well, Mike White is, I know there's an actor.
Right.
An actor or a screenwriter, director named Mike White. He was, do you remember the movie School of Rock?
Yes, I do.
Jack Black's friend. I believe that guy's name is Mike White.
Okay. If you went up to somebody and you said, hey, have you ever heard of Samaje Perine? They would go, wait, hold on. That sounds familiar to me. Is that a football player? Does he play for? Then you'd go, okay, you did hear from him. But if you go up to somebody and go, have you ever heard of Mike White? They probably go, I have 10 friends named Mike White.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Have I ever heard of him?
That's like John Smith.
About? Yeah. What do you mean? In what context do you want me to know Mike White? Oh, he's in the NFL. All right. No. How's that? like that's, that's a totally different thing. So when I say, oh, I feel like I've heard of this guy before. Yeah, because there's 1,000 Mike Whites that are probably famous. So, Mike White, good job. Play well. The whole Gotham City is counting on you.
And one Jake Asman.
Yeah, and one Jake Asman. So, no pressure. Because you don't want to fear the wrath of Jake Asman. He'll probably sneak in a dig at you on his Houston show.
Yep.
Be careful, Mike White. Although, that's kind of a badge of honor, Mike. Don't blow that off so easily. All right, how about the Rams and the Texans?
God.
What are we doing here, League? Why are you doing this?
I'm telling you right now, they knew this today was Halloween.
First of all, we didn't even talk about how good the Bengals are and how they should throttle the Jets.
Well,
and
why?
It could actually
why
be
bother?
Fun to watch Joe Burrow hit Ja'Marr Chase for 5 touchdowns.
And 7,000 yards.
This one is, okay, the Rams and the Texans. Tonight, I'm going to be doing my final high school football game of the season. My team was terrible. They're 1-8. They're going into their 10th game of the year. Terrible. So much so that we see a lot of games go into the running clock thing, so it doesn't get to be like 80-7. I think the Rams and the Texans, they should put in the running clock thing.
That's a great idea.
In the second half, they should be like, Rams 33, Texans 3, so we're not stopping the clock for any reason whatsoever because we don't want anybody to get hurt.
The good news is that the Texans are playing at home, so there is a real chance that they'll get double digits in points.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you got that going for them because last three road games, remember the score? 102-8.
That's right. They were terrible.
Three games, they've have gotten 8 points. So, home game, double digits. That's probably the safe bet.
All right, we're going to go to the afternoon games. Are they going to be a little better? Maybe, but maybe not. We'll find out when we come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We're going to have Jordan DeJani from the CBS Sports. We're going to talk more NFL with him. But right now, we're going to continue through our schedule of games. So far, nothing really has stood out. Maybe the Titans and Colts in the early game. So if you get that game, you're lucky. Everything else.
Unless you like seeing beatdowns.
If you like seeing beatdowns, this could be your weekend. All right, let's get to the late afternoon games, including the New England Patriots on the road to face your Chargers.
Yep.
Fresh off a bye week, Chargers. Patriots don't mess around. I mean, look, they've lost 3-4, so not like their record's good. I'd be a little nervous to play them, though. They're playing pretty good football right now. This might be
Hey, listen, you suffered through all the 1 o'clock Eastern games to come to this final stage. You're feeling much better about life.
Exactly. Let's about say football your early life, game anyway. Was a blowout between the Bills and the Dolphins, and then you got Patriots, Chargers. You'd be like, oh my God, thank God, there's humanity left in the world.
You know what this is? Mm-hmm. I just figured this out. This is the NFL playing trick or treat.
Ah, yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Good for you.
Yeah, they did this on purpose.
They did this on purpose. Jaguars against Seattle. How about this? Does Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence beat a Seahawks team that can't win with Geno Smith?
They have to.
Right?
They have to.
If you want to win a game against the Seahawks, be in a close game and give Geno Smith an opportunity to beat you at the end because he just can't do it.
Win a game on American soil.
That's right.
Urban.
That's right. That's right. It's one thing to do it in London. Now do it in the United States. A lot more tougher to do it in the United States.
It's a lot tougher.
So it's a lot tougher to do it in Seattle.
But can you imagine their swing? I mean, they went from London, played a game in London, and their next game's on the far west coast of Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Urban, make sure you get on the team plane afterwards. It's a long walk back to Jacksonville from Seattle.
Yeah, I've heard you can get in trouble in Seattle.
You can get in trouble in Seattle. Yeah, be careful. That's got to be one of the longest plane rides in the league outside of, like, Miami to Seattle.
Yeah.
That's got to be brutal.
Do you think they go around the North Pole, right?
Yeah.
It's quicker that way?
Yeah, exactly. If you're in Miami and you're going to Seattle, did you just go through Asia and go to the other side?
Just go around that way. I think it's faster.
You're like, I ain't going through the, oh, no, I'm not going to try to beat the jet stream. Or
going to fly over the United States?
Fly over the United States? Are you kidding? We're going to go fly over the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
Go past Turkey through China. We'll land on the other side that way. A long flight that's got
to
be.
Okay, we'll cut our flight time down by a day.
Oh, God, going to Seattle. What a brutal trip.
That's the same as us flying to Australia, right?
Yeah.
Same distance.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah, exactly. Like going to Australia. All right, how about the Washington football team against the Denver Broncos? Ugh. Ugh. So my friend JoJo.
Swipe left. Scroll.
I have a friend of mine, JoJo. He works at the big blowtorch KOA in Denver. And he had a really good point on his show, The Sports Zoo, this week. I want to highlight it. He was really upset at the Broncos because Teddy Bridgewater admitted after the game last week that he was only at 75%. And JoJo pointed out with his co-host, Alfred Williams, that it is unconscionable that Vic Fangio started a 75% Teddy Bridgewater over 100% Drew Lock. That's not the same as like Aaron Rodgers being at 75%.
Yeah.
Or Tom Brady being at 75%. He's like, there's no way 100% Drew Lock is worse than 75% of a quarterback that going into that game last week was 3-3 and hasn't done anything to show you anything good. And I was like, that's a great point. See, it's a good topic of discussion. All right, how about the Saints and the Buccaneers? This would have been the Joe Buck game, right?
This, yeah, you'd have to think.
If and Joe this, Buck was not doing the World Series too?
And this, I would have, I don't know why. I thought we, I guess now because we have 17 games, we don't flex week 8 anymore. Because I would have thought you would have flexed this game.
Yeah. No, not with the Cowboys in your Sunday night game.
I guess, yeah.
A 5-1 Cowboys team is never going to get flexed out of that position. They draw so good. Their numbers are so good. Dallas
against Minnesota.
Yeah, well, it's not the against that's the
I know.
Thing. But the Buccaneers Saints, that's your afternoon.
That's
game.
That's a good one.
Because the Saints are playing pretty good now. They're 4-2. That win against again, a Geno Smith led Seattle team. Is got their record decent. And the Buccaneers, of course, are the Buccaneers. Tom Brady with 21 touchdown passes through 7 games.
Yeah, and then look at the flip side. Jameis Winston going up against his former team.
Right. That's right.
Fresh off a Super Bowl win.
So I'm trying to do the math here. Brady is averaging 3 touchdown passes a game. That's 51 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think
in a 17-game season.
He can do better than that.
Come on, Tom. Step it up.
Yeah.
You get this extra game. Go to 60.
Get another 4. Yeah, 60. Yeah.
Go to 60. That's Come a nice on. Round number.
Roger Maris.
We can play around with that. That's right. How about the Cowboys and the Vikings? Now, the Vikings have won 3 of their last 4. Both of these teams are in the top 10 in rushing and passing. Dak Prescott may or may not play. That's a big problem. But nevertheless, the Cowboys are 5-1. I like Dallas. They're coming off a bye week. The Prescott thing intrigues me.
Yeah.
The Vikings are playing a little bit better. We'll see if they're that good.
I don't think they are, though.
I don't think they are. I don't think they're 3-3
this game. I think this game is, I mean, I know the line's only 2.5. I think it's a lot bigger.
I think if Prescott plays, Dallas takes that down.
Yeah.
I think people are a little nervous about Prescott. So they're riding Minnesota right now as the favorite at 2.5 points.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they think Cooper Rush is going to play.
Yeah, but is that, just to rest Dak? Because, this is like a college football game where they're going, it's an easier opponent.
Yeah, that's what's been saying. It's like, it's okay to sacrifice this game against the Vikings. Because if you lose Dak down the road to this, I just get a little nervous when coaches
true.
Do that.
I mean, if Dallas moves to 5-2, everyone else, the best that they can be is 3-5.
Yeah.
So that's what, a 4-game swing?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, they're still fine.
Yeah, this could be one of those strategic things where they go, all right, we're going to take our hit here.
Or maybe not.
Maybe Cooper Rush wins the game.
Maybe you win here and clinch the division by Thanksgiving.
Right, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, right, exactly. That would be the best.
That's it, everybody.
Giants and the Chiefs. I don't know about this one. I'm sorry. Right. I don't know about this one.
Here's the thing, okay? Beginning of the year, you would have said, no, I don't
not
think
a chance.
I'm not going to be focused as much into this game because this is going to be a blowout. Right?
Right.
Now what do we think?
Right. Okay, let me ask a question. And I don't mean like the Chiefs, like people love to pile on the Chiefs. Does the Chiefs' demise fascinate you?
Oh, definitely.
Without question, right?
Yeah.
I think they beat the Giants. I mean, they're still a 9.5-point favorite. But the way that team stinks right now. I mean, they really stink. I mean, nothing like playing the Giants and their injured team to boost your, feeling like, all right, we got back on the right track. But Kansas City is a disaster.
I mean it's
absolute disaster.
What it is that, for years, we talked about this all the time about them. Didn't matter what the score was in the game. You always had this feeling they were going to come back.
Right.
And that feeling has been erased the last 3 to 4 weeks now.
They have 3 wins on the season. 2 of them come from the lousy NFC East.
Yeah.
With wins against the Eagles and Washington.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to beat the Giants.
Yeah.
Every good
team that they've played, they've lost. They lost to the Ravens, Chargers, Bills, and Titans. Those will all be playoff teams at the end of the year.
Yep.
And they lost to all of them. And they're giving up nearly 30 points a game.
And they lost the one thing that they always had, intimidation.
That's right. No one is afraid to play Kansas City. Not one person. We'll talk more NFL as we continue. Wake up.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, Freol deep penetrating oil spreads deep into rusted and frozen parts. It frees them with ease. This three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant, so it takes less spray and less torque and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. And if you're like me and sometimes you're just like, I'm running out of elbow grease as I get older, Freol will help you take care of that. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone-free. Think about some of the uses that you could use with Freol deep penetrating oil, like rusty chains and gears, stuck ball joints, seized engines, axle nut removals, rusted nuts and bolts. Freol deep penetrating oil, again, three times more lubricant, so it does take that less spray, less torque, and less time. You can find Freol on the shelves at any AutoZone, O'Reilly, or Napa Auto Parts store. Give Freol deep penetrating oil a try. All right, Jordan DeJani joins us, CBS Sports. We're going to talk some NFL. We just went through the schedule. We're going to get into the more nuts and bolts of everything in the league. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. All right, your takeaway from the game last night, I know a lot of people were looking at this like, hey, the Cardinals need to get over the hump and beat Green Bay, and then Green Bay continuing to roll after that week one loss. What was your takeaway of what last night's outcome was?
Yeah, I guess the Arizona Cardinals doubters feel a little bit vindicated with what went down at State Farm Stadium yesterday. But at the same time, I think this takeaway more has to do with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, this is a team that hasn't lost since week one, that weird outing where Jameis Winston threw 100 interceptions. They haven't lost since that week one outing. So I think, you know, this is a team that obviously is motivated. They made the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row now. People looked at the defense as maybe a weak spot on this team, but it looks like they're going to be right back in it when it comes to contenders in the NFC. And, you know, I'm someone who was a bit of a Cardinals doubter as well. While they were the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL, I obviously just have more faith in guys like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford and his new team with the Los Angeles Rams, even though they did suffer a loss to Arizona earlier in the regular season. The Cardinals, you know, they're going to finish the regular season with maybe the best record in the NFL. But when it comes to that invaluable postseason experience, that's why I wasn't so ready to deem them Super Bowl champions just yet. They could make an incredible run, but I think last night was more about the Packers reestablishing themselves as a legitimate contender in the NFC.
There's kind of this old line in auto racing, catching a guy is one thing, passing them is the next. Using that for the NFL, is that where you see Arizona? Look, they can catch a Green Bay, they can catch a Tom Brady, but passing them as an elite team in the NFC, that's just going to be more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, the Cardinals, no one would be shocked if they finished the regular season with the best record, not only in the NFC, but also just the NFL as a whole. But again, like that experience in the postseason is the biggest thing. That's what you need. You need composure, and you need to play your best ball when the playoffs roll around. And I'm a little worried about a Cardinals team since, you know, they've improved every single season with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, but they haven't been to the playoffs just yet. This will be their first go around. So yeah, maybe they can win one or two games, but obviously you're going to put your eggs in one basket when it comes to guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, guys who have been there before, guys that have won Super Bowls before, guys that know what it's like to be a leader on the biggest stage possible. The Cardinals are a great team on the up and up, but at the same time, when I'm trying to identify legitimate contenders, I kind of shy away from them.
The Dallas Cowboys will take on Minnesota. The Cowboys coming off a bye week, but Prescott's dealing with a calf strain. What do you know? What's the buzz around whether or not he'll play or not and go up Sunday night against the Vikings?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, before yesterday, it seemed like everyone agreed upon the fact that, or the possibility, I should say, that Dak Prescott was going to suit up for that primetime game. Then something happened yesterday. I mean, he was a limited participant in practice again. I think that was expected. If you ask me, my opinion was that the Cowboys should take it easy on him in practice, and then he would suit up. But now it sounds like, you know, just the kind of feeling is that there's a little bit more doubt. Now, that still doesn't change my mind. I still put money on the Cowboys. I still think Dak Prescott plays. But, of course, it's going to be an interesting storyline to follow today to see what his official game designation is when those injury reports go official. The Vikings are not a pushover. They're a solid team, and they can definitely catch you if you're slipping or if your quarterback is not 100% healthy.
A lot has been talked about with Kansas City at 3-4. Are we done giving them the benefit of they'll just turn it around? Is there real concern about where the season is going?
Yeah, I think that's where you described how I'm sitting and feeling right now. I was in the press box in Nashville last Sunday watching the Chiefs take a beating to the Tennessee Titans. And I think the thing that really stood out to me was watching Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. He looks frenetic. He looks spazzed out. He looks like he's pressing. He doesn't look like the same quarterback we've known to love and grown to love, right? He's trying to force the issue. He's been noticeably inaccurate as well. I think that Sunday was almost a low point for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, this is obviously still a solid team that can beat the likes of another club like the New York Giants. But when it comes to their status as legitimate contenders, there's obviously reason for worry. The defense obviously needs to come together. It's one of the worst in the NFL, and there's no way you're going to be hoisting a Lombardi trophy at the end of the year if you have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So I think I was slow to jump on the Chiefs bandwagon in terms of saying that they are experiencing a huge collapse because just of how great they've been, and they were setting up a prospective dynasty just a few months ago. But after watching them in person on Sunday, yeah, I can agree that I'm very worried.
Speaking of the Titans, and you were there against in Nashville against the Chiefs, this is a team now that has beaten Buffalo and has beaten Kansas City, albeit not the same kind of Chiefs team. But those were the two major heavyweights in the conference. Are the Titans now on top of the conference in terms of where you see the AFC, or do they still have some issues to resolve?
So the Tennessee Titans are a team that can definitely win the AFC as a whole, no doubt about it. But, I mean, I still have major concerns about their defense. I mean, they have their top cornerback on IR. They lost first-rounder Caleb Farley to a torn ACL. A guy who they just signed off of the Cardinals practice squad last week made the start for them against Kansas City. So they're very thin in the defensive secondary, and they're also not incredibly talented there as well. So that's probably the major worry point for the Tennessee Titans. But at the same time, if I'm power ranking this conference, they're not number one in my mind. Even though they just defeated the Buffalo Bills, I think that they're still probably the top team in the AFC. A lot of people expected Josh Allen to experience some form of regression, but we have not seen that. The Bills are a legitimate contender for a Super Bowl trophy.
Cincinnati is at 5-2, and everybody's having a lot of fun with this because of the Burrow-Jamar Chase connection now, and it's working, and they're beating teams, and again, that win against the Ravens. But I was talking about this earlier this week, Jordan. I've seen the Bengals good with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton, where they've had good seasons, playoff seasons, but I don't think anybody feared them. Have we reached the point where you should be concerned if you play Cincinnati?
We're getting there. We're getting there. I mean, we're only in week 8, so using the word like fear to talk about Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, you know, might be a little bit too much, but we're definitely getting to that point. I mean, they're atop the AFC for good reason. And, you know, watching that film against the Baltimore Ravens, what really stood out to me, I mean, first of all, Joe Burrow is turning into a legitimate signal caller, and Jamar Chase is pretty incredible. He's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But what stood out to me was the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think they played a really complete together game at all three levels. And the Bengals have spent money on the defensive side of the ball over the past 2 or 3 years in the offseason, so it's kind of cool to see that come together. They still statistically don't have one of the best defenses in the NFL, but at the same time, if this unit's playing together, then they are one of the top three teams in the AFC. And, you know, they have another really good get-right spot here against the Jets. So the Bengals are definitely a team to keep an eye on as we progress through the year.
The Deshaun Watson, will he be traded? Will Miami pull the trigger? Gets a little heated up. Are we at a roaring boil with this story? Is it a low simmer? Where are we at with the possibility of a team making a trade to get Deshaun Watson from Houston with all of the legal stuff within him?
Yeah, you know, it seems like we're at a roaring boil, as you so eloquently put it. But at the same time, if you ask me the legitimate prospects of him getting dealt, I'm still leaning towards no. I mean, there's a lot of reports going on with the Dolphins and agreed upon compensation. But in my mind, the major sticking point is obviously what kind of punishments could be handed down through legal proceedings, what could be handed down through the NFL. I think at this point, and we can jump into all this later, but I think I'd be interested in making a move right now if I'm really sold on Deshaun Watson and if I'm okay with the talked about compensation. But at the same time, you really have to worry about what kind of other troubles and suspensions and things like that he's going to be facing down the line. And I, of course, don't want to make light of the things that he's accused of. But at the same time, I think, you know, there's a lot of people talking about this story, and it almost seems like there's a sense that, yeah, he's going to be dealt at the trade deadline. In my mind, no, I don't think that's going to happen. We're going to have to hear about this story for months to come.
Jordan DeJohnny again, CBS Sports on NFL. Really great having you on. Hope to get you on soon. Thank you a lot, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a good show.
You got it, my man. Appreciate it. On our Progressive guest line, Progressive quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, some of those thoughts when we come back between Ron and I as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can! All right, so thanks to Jordan DeJohnny, who was in Nashville to witness firsthand the demolition of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What does Derrick Henry do this week?
I know, well, he had 113 yards rushing last week. I know that because they said that on the news here in Nashville.
And he had a touchdown pass.
Yes. He had a touchdown pass last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, against the Colts, 113 yards. They brought that up. They put it in they put it on the Chiron down at the bottom.
Oh, so they already have it.
Emphasized it, yeah.
Okay.
So week three, he had 113 yards rushing.
So, I'm just wondering, I mean, how many passing yards will he get this week?
Or? I want to know. It's a Tebow-esque passing of Derrick Henry. It makes him so dangerous. So,
does he get any interceptions this week?
Yeah, exactly. Do we like, we talked about this earlier with Kansas City. I kind of find it fascinating, and I kind of agree. I'm very reluctant. I go back to that old, what's that old story? They used it in Charlie Wilson's War with Philip Seymour Hoffman's, like, there's an old man that goes, we'll see. They keep bringing up all these things, and he goes, we'll see. That's kind of the way I am with this. I don't jump on that team's going to win 7 Super Bowls in a row. I go, I don't know. Let's just see where this plays out. It's hard to do. But I don't feel like laughing at them. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like going, ha, ha, ha. I kind of liked their team. I kind of liked Mahomes. I liked his story. I liked what they did with him. I liked that I know I've been repeating this a lot. I like the way they took Alex Smith, who was getting them to the postseason, and they said, you know what, this kid, we just think he's something else. I think he's going to be something special. And we're going to sacrifice, we're going to send you off to Washington, even though you're getting us to the playoffs, which really is 75% of the battle in the NFL is just getting to the postseason. And we're going to put all our eggs in this basket of this kid who hasn't shown a thing yet in this league. And look what he delivered. I love that story. I think it's a great story. But they're falling apart. They're absolutely falling apart. And that can happen in this league quick. Quick. And it just because, as we said many times, there are just too many eyeballs on you to do that thing over and over again and have it to be successful. The Patriots didn't do the same thing over and over again. The Patriots weren't one thing constantly. They mixed it up. They always had different players, different approaches. You want to go deep ball with Randy Moss? You want to just run the ball well? We'll do all of it. All of it. Doesn't matter. But the Chiefs were this fantastic quarterback and these weapons and big plays, and now they don't get the big plays anymore. And that's why they're struggling. But, yeah, I'm enjoying that. But I'm with him on the Titans. I think there's a little bit of a defensive problem that Buffalo doesn't have. That makes me think the Bills, they're still the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
The Bills are still the best team. At 4-2, they're still the best team.
But, no, I agree. I mean, you can see kind of where Buffalo's kind of just pushed themselves above the rest of the AFC.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's a long time coming. I mean, that organization, as we talked about, has built and built and built. It took a while for things to click, and they had to find the right coach, but they did. And everything's clicking now. They gave Josh Allen the same offensive coordinator. He hasn't been changing coaching staffs. Nobody's gone crazy. They've just kept it simple and kept everybody together. and built this team. It's, again, it's a patience paid off. But, yeah, I just am too so surprised of Kansas City. I mean, look, if losing to Buffalo is like, okay, Buffalo's really good, whatever. But that game against the Titans was eye-opening. It was two different teams. They weren't equal AFC foes.
No.
It's two totally different teams.
Heading in two totally different directions. That was the issue. That was the thing, too, that was eye-opening. It wasn't like, you know, this one just got a little bit better than the other one. It was just almost complete opposite of where they were headed. It was like, is it really? Already?
And, he's right about Dallas. The Dak Prescott story on Wednesday was, okay, he'll play. And then Thursday it was like, no, not really.
No.
And as we talked about in our preview, it looks like the line is Minnesota favorite, and it probably has everything to do with Prescott not
playing.
Yeah,
it looks like,
they're not playing.
I mean, maybe this is good strategy. We don't normally see this out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Where they're just going to go, you know, did they go to the team ahead of time and say, listen, guys, we're still going to play our A game. We're just not going to start our number one quarterback. We're going to give him this week to rest because, you know, this season's a marathon, not a sprint.
I'd love to talk to a gambling
guy. Football,
yeah, true. I'd love to talk to a gambling guy, and I know we have a couple on the network. The home team usually gets a few points, even when they're lousy.
Yeah.
They get a few points. So if you're expected to beat a team by 15, right? Well, if you're on the road now, it might be 13.
But yeah, you know, but it's curious though. What would the line be if Prescott was healthy and you knew he was
absolutely
starting?
With 100%? You'd probably take Dallas 5.
At least, right?
Maybe that, yeah.
I mean, is Minnesota
that
good?
The Vikings aren't terrible, but they're not, I don't think they're that awesome either. But the Prescott being out is probably the main reason. And they probably know he's out. That's why the line is 2.5 for the Vikings.